You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. It's Patrick Bexell speaking. We are live, or not live because we're recording this obviously, but we are ready for the top 25 under 25, and this will be the introduction piece of a long series of episodes. I'm joined by Matt Mania, who now says it in Spanish.
I haven't gotten that far in my Spanish lessons yet, but they call me Pablo Emilio Escobar Gaviria. Estoy respeto.
And of course, Jared, the book.
Yeah, I'm not taking Spanish lessons right now. Anyway, I have taken some like very basic ones, but when Patrick and Matt were talking Spanish earlier, I was like Patrick whenever he listened to a French press conference.
Well, that says a lot. We're here. It's the flagship of Eyes on the Prize. It's taken life of its own. It's something we look forward to. It's something some of our friends not looking forward to because they know they're going to get the call to be participating on different podcasts. And we have a lineup of great guests this year. But we're going to talk about the two plays that aged out, Condotta and Pezzetta. What can we expect from them going forward?
It's going to be interesting to see where Pezzetta fits in to this lineup, assuming everyone is healthier than they were last year. Last year, obviously, he had a lot of opportunity because there were a lot of injuries. I still think that he's probably best fit as, you know, a fourth liner and might be the best possible kind of 13th forward as well, because you don't mind if he doesn't play every game, things like that. Condotta is also interesting to me because he's a guy who could wear a letter for the Rocket this year. He played every game. He's the only player in the organization to play every game for the Rocket last year, which is saying a lot. He made his NHL debut. He scored a goal, didn't he? Didn't he score a goal as well, Condotta? Or did he just play a game?
For the Habs?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think you might be right. I think he actually
did. I think he scored a goal. Yeah, he did. He scored in his only game, his only NHL game. He scored a goal. So, yeah, he might be best fit for that kind of Alex Belzil role this year, of a guy who starts the year in the AHL when injuries hit, kind of gets that call up and kind of gets some fourth line minutes. Again, a lot of this depends on how healthy the team is, especially some of the veterans. A lot of it also depends on how ready the rookies are.
But also, is it a letter in the Rocket, a little bit of a Dementor's kiss? It's a death kiss because you're not going to get called up if you got a letter on.
A little bit, but Alex Belzil got called up last year and got an NHL contract out of it with the Rangers, right? It's not ideal. It's a little bit harder to get called up in that regard, but I don't think it stops people from getting called up. Obviously, this year it's looking like it's probably going to be Gabriel Bourque, who is on an AHL contract, so he can't get called up anyway. But I don't think it stops people. Corey Schoeneman had a letter last year as well, so I don't think it stops people. It can be seen as like, oh, you're a really good piece to the AHL team. But I think that, you know, if you're needed and you deserve it, you'll get called up regardless.
Yeah, like, I think it all depends how many injuries there are, right? Like you said, last year, there were so many that it didn't matter. You could be completely indispensable to the Rocket. And it was like, well, we don't have a choice. Like, we need bodies in the NHL. Otherwise, we're like maybe not going to be able to play this game. I think Condotta is probably in that bracket where it's going to take a lot of injuries for him to get brought up, because I think he might be, I don't see him as being at the front of the line right away anyways. Now, you could play yourself to the front of the line. We've seen guys do that in Levada before. I don't think he'd be at the front of the line right away. I think he's going to get a leadership opportunity down there. And I think we're all praying that the Habs have better fortune this year for injuries. I'm pretty sure every Habs fan has said some variation of, well, you know, this team is probably going to do better this year if, and it's a big if, they can stay healthier than they were last year. So that should limit some of the opportunities. I think it's going to have a similar effect on Pizzetta, to be honest. I see him struggling. Yeah. Like, if he was still eligible for this top 25 under 25 list, I don't know where I'd place him. This was such a strong crop this year that for me, he would have been definitely falling from where he was last year on my list if he were still eligible. And I think it's going to have a similar effect on his status with the Montreal Canadiens, because like, where does he really fit in the lineup? I think he might be a day one guy in the lineup, but you know, you could get surpassed pretty quickly, particularly at camp and in the preseason. So I don't know. It might be tough for him this year. I mean, he ages out, but he might have dropped on everybody's list if he was still eligible for the top 25.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
The road he has taken from more or less being second to last in the top 25 to getting into the top 25 and getting an NHL contract and getting a roster spot with the Canadiens. Not many have taken that leap. It speaks to the greatness that maybe of top 25 under 25, but it also speaks to the greatness of Pizzetta to be able to focus, work hard, and be that determined as well. He would have been in the 30s for me probably.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we've seen guys that have started really low, eventually go higher and make the NHL. Jake Evans, Caden Primo, you know, a couple of seventh round picks, right? But we've never, I don't think in my time doing this, we've ever seen a player who was 36 become an NHLer that year, right? And that's what Pizzetta did, right? He was 36 in our top 25 under 25 in 2021. And by the end of that year, he was an NHLer. He got called up and didn't go back down and still hasn't. So I don't think, like Patrick said, it's an incredible turnaround. A lot of it to credit Pizzetta himself, to be honest, because he put in the time to show that improvement and get better. Those are the cool kind of turnarounds. But with the depth of this organization, it's possible that we see more of that coming up. I mean, a lot of the guys, the top established guys are, you know, well-known and get into the top 15 pretty easily. But there's always going to be some guys that drop a little lower because they're a little bit older. And then suddenly become NHL players. And the numbers this year in the rankings don't really mean as much. Even the titles of, you know, long shots and projects and near misses, you know, they don't mean as much as they used to. That there's still groupings of players based on, you know, where they are in respect to others. But the quality is so much higher throughout this group that, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we see more Pizzettas down the road just because there's so much more depth in the organization right now.
I mean, it's what almost every pundit has their pipeline as being at least top five, right? Some people saying they're even top three in the league in terms of prospect pipeline. When you have a group that's that highly regarded, you know, league wide, I think inevitably you're going to have some guys that are undervalued and get to jump up. That's one of the most fun things for me about this exercise. I love it when I'm wrong about a guy. I love it when I rank a guy like 30th, 40th or something like that. And then by the next year, you're like, man, I got to shove this guy into my top 15 all of a sudden because he did that well. And I think that's the kind of group that they have right now where, you know, again, as Jared mentioned, we got the projects. Some of those guys that are going to be in those categories have the ability, have the skill to jump right up into, you know, top 15, top 20, maybe even top 10 consideration, depending on what they do next year.
It also shows a little bit in regards to who has left the list because they're not with the Canadiens organization anymore. And one of those players is maybe a little bit surprisingly Frederik Dichau from Denmark and Frölunda in the top 25 last year, but hasn't really kept it with his change to a bigger club, bigger league. I thought he did quite well in order during the World Junior, World Championships, not the World Juniors, the World Championships for Denmark before he got injured to maybe at least get that qualifying offer and extend his rights. But Montreal let him go. Are you guys surprised about that?
I'm a little bit surprised just because of the goaltending situation in Montreal. Like, we're still on the hunt for the next Carey Price. And let's face it, Carey Price, you're not just happening into the next Carey Price, right? It's the whole process of finding that. Carey Price is a fifth overall pick. You don't even get a lot of goaltenders going that high in the draft. It's not easy to find another Carey Price. And I think the way that they needed to do that was really by committee. Have all of your goaltending prospects. And I thought signing him would have been a smart idea and let him continue to develop in Europe. But look, they made a decision there. And I think that kind of showed with how they drafted this year as well, is that maybe they had viewed him as somebody they wanted to move on from. They drafted every goalie that they could possibly get their hands on at the in this summer. So I think that they're still in that process, and maybe they've eliminated him from it. But I was surprised by that, because I thought that, you know, having more goaltenders was always a good plan for trying to find that replacement, is just try them all out, let them all develop at their own pace, and see who can, you know, one day just take the reins and run with them.
Next on that list is Joel Teasdale, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit surprised he wasn't qualified. But, you know, when you look at the guys that are coming into Laval this year, just at forward, Sean Farrell, first full professional year in North America. Emil Heinemann, first full professional year in North America. Joshua Roy, Riley Kidney, a lot of forwards who are, you know, going to be in that AHL, NHL bubble. And at a certain point, you have to make tough decisions on certain players. And, you know, like the question with Pezzetta and even Condota to a certain extent, you know, Teasdale is getting passed by people, and it's nothing to do with him. He had a great year last year in Laval, but when you're building an organizational roster, you have these young guys who are going to come up, and kind of like Deschau as well. You know, Deschau was definitely passed by Dobish in the eyes of the Canadians, who got his entry level contract and you know was with Laval during the playoffs, even though he didn't play a game. And I think that they're really high on him. And I think that they're looking, like Matt said, for, you know, a lot of goaltenders in the organization in the draft this year. And I think that, you know, you can keep an eye on guys, even though they don't have contracts. And I think that, you know, Deschau was worth the draft pick. We didn't really know much about him when he was drafted. I remember the only video that we found was when he was 12 years old, stopping a penalty shot. And, you know, he developed into a guy who went to the Olympics and the World Championships for Denmark, which is no small feat. And yeah, I think that, you know, with Teasdale, and we'll get to some of the other guys who are traded or left the organization, that's going to happen. A lot of these guys, you know, we're going to have less and less. It's a very young group this year in the top 25 under 25. So I think for the next few years, the departures list is going to be high, is going to be longer than the graduates list, because there's not enough spots for everyone. Decisions are going to have to be made before they're 25.
Gianni Firebrother, Matt.
I wasn't surprised that they moved on from him. I just don't think I don't think he fit within the the future plans of the club. I think he was a throw in there to get Alex Newhook. Obviously, the big thing they wanted was the picks, but I guess they were interested in having him as well for their AHL club. I just don't see him being able to break through and become an NHL regular. So I think, you know, for me, what bothered me about that trade was the picks more than anything. And, you know, time will tell whether or not those picks end up being worth more than Alex Newhook. Fairbrother was, somebody that I think would made sense for them to part ways with. I don't think he was coming up to the Montreal Canadiens anytime soon to stay.
Yeah, tough injury luck for Fairbrother. He missed all of last year. By the end of the year, he was skating with the team. But I mean, if you look at the depth on defense, I mentioned the forwards earlier, the depth on defense, I mean, Fairbrother would have been hard pressed to find a regular spot in Laval, never mind Montreal. So, yeah, it made sense. And, you know, he's not going to be the first defender that the team will have to move on from. There's a lot of defense coming up in the organization. And yeah, I mean, Fairbrother, good player, good organizational depth, but Montreal has so much of it that some of the guys on the bottom of that list are going to start getting moved on from.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
I'm gonna go with the four guys here: Nate Schnarr, Cam Hillis, Brett Stapley, Jack Gorniak. We're not really surprised about anyone, right?
No, I mean those are guys. you know, Nate Schnarr was passed by Lucas Condona. I mean, it's kind of a recurring theme where we're talking about guys who are passed by other guys who are kept. But that's the reality of the situation. That's going to happen. It's going to happen on the list this year. There's going to be guys that are going to be passed by other guys, and they're going to find themselves without a chair or a contract. And, you know, Schnarr was traded because the team needed defense at the trade deadline and got Frederick Allard for a few games. He played in the NHL for a few games as well. And then obviously he signed in Europe after the year. You know, Cam Hill, the same thing. The team needed defense, and he didn't really have an opportunity to play in Laval. Even he was with the Lions and Trois-Rivières, and they got Nicolas Baudin, who is, you know, going to be probably the power play guy in Laval this year, and step up big for the absence of a guy like Corey Schoeneman, who left the organization. And, you know, Stapley had an opportunity, AHL contract, couldn't really get through the Lions, never really made it back to the Rocket. Wasn't bad in the ECHL, but I think that, you know, the speed was a little bit of an issue in trying to get a look in the AHL. Like, we saw guys like Ryan Francis and Beauregard and Pierrick Dubé, who started with the Lions, and he was passed by those guys in terms of getting the call to Laval. And Jack Gorniak, you know, never really got his footing at Wisconsin. When they were a really good team with Cole Caulfield and Alex Turcotte and those guys, he was playing the same role as he was when they had left, and didn't really make himself indispensable to get a contract. And with the forward depth that the Canadians have, I'm a broken record, but there's a lot of guys. You know, there's 54 that are on the list. There's not room for everybody. It's not really surprising with any of those names.
And finally, I'm going to leave this to you, Matt. You know, Arvid Henriksson, one of those fantastic European defenders that you love.
The greatest prospect in the history of the Montreal Canadiens, is he not?
He's the greatest prospect in the history of the Montreal Canadiens who played at Lake Superior State University.
We're going back to mentioning stuff that we have mentioned before. And this is not a disrespect. He's gotten a degree from a university. He's played hockey. He signed with Västervik in Hockey Allsvenskan, second division in Sweden, for next year. It's not... You can live on your hobby or live on your... and have it as a work, and you get a degree out of it, which sets you up for future considerations down the line, and it may be a different career. We should not make fun of them, but Arvid Henriksson... It has been a broken record about who's going to be last on that top 25, under 25 list for 3 years, I think. And unfortunately, it has been Arvid Henriksson. So it was a little bit more difficult this year to put the person who was at number 54. Still, these are graduates. These are people that has left the organization for different reasons. But we have cared about them, and we should continue to care about them and smile when they are successful, as we do with the other players.
Arvid Henriksson was traded and played a game in the AHL.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys who don't even get to play in the AHL after being drafted.
Yeah.
And he got one game in the AHL before going back to Sweden. And listen, you know, I think the most surprising thing of Henriksson is that he was a departure, not a graduate. because I think most people were surprised in that Nick Bonino trade that Arvid Henriksson was involved in that. And he would have aged out anyway. He is 25 anyway. But I mean, you know, the bad thing about ranking people is that one guy has to be last, and the person that we're ranking last is better at hockey than we'll ever dream of. So it's not a bad thing to get drafted or sign a contract with an organization.
And I think that Patrick Hörnqvist was drafted as the last player in his draft year. And he got away with two Stanley Cup rings, right?
So not so bad. Not so bad.
there's still that.
I got a guy in my top five this year that was drafted in the fifth round. You can go ahead and take a wild guess who that is.
Artur Lehkonen has left.
He was in the fifth round pick. He was the second round pick. Oh, man. good time. This is the fun part. It's always fun to see the rankings, right? Because we all submit our list, and then I think we all chomp at the bit to see when the rankings actually get finalized. And we know that everyone listening is, guys and girls listening are going to be really interested in seeing the order. I'm sure there'll be some disagreements. But that's the whole fun of this.
Yeah, and like we all do when we get the list from Justin, is we take right off the bat, we look how many were our highest on and how many were our lowest on, because that's what we're looking at, because that's, we also think we were wrong sometimes.
There's also when you get the vote, right? When you start the vote, like, never mind when you get the list after the vote comes in and you're looking at, you know, who were you highest, who were you low on. But when you go back to, like, when I initially got the list, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to vote. I sat down for a good, I want to say 2 hours, and looked at the thing and ranked all my players. And then I'm like, okay, I've got a good ranking here. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm like, Matt, you got to close this thing out. You got to step away for like 2 hours and then come back to it with like fresh eyes and look at it again. That's how tough this year was. And we were talking about it before we started recording today. And I agree 100% with what Jared said. You ask me next week, there's some guys in my 20s that might be able to kick up into the top 15 and vice versa. There's some guys in the top 15 that I might bump down into the 20s. Like, that's, and this is a fantastic problem for the Montreal Canadiens to have. If that's your problem, is that you've got so many good prospects that you're not too sure exactly where to rank them in an exercise like this, what does that say? It says that you've got depth. You've got depth coming up and you've got young depth. So once these players are ready, you know, they don't need 50 players. They don't need 45 players to be NHL contributors. They just need a good handful of these guys. They need 10 to 12 of these guys to be legitimate NHL contributors. And this team could be very good in the next, you know, 5-6 years.
And the rest is there to be traded for someone that is better.
Right.
Or move on,
only
move
trade the ones that I devalue, right?
Anyways, we're looking forward to the rest of the list. We're not going to drag this out anymore. Thank you so much for participating, because if you listen to the podcast, you most likely participated in the voting. And we're looking forward to see you all in the comments of the different podcasts. Thank you.